Hello and welcome to the Oregonian Sports Podcast. I am columnist Bill Oram, joined this week and all weeks by the familiar voice of Coin Six's Brenna Green. Brenna, how are you this fine Monday?
Great. Starting another work week off. I had a day off yesterday. We're on a day off today. We're flying. It's sunny. It's not cold and blustery like it was at Oregon State spring game.
Oh, boy.
Weather, not enjoyable. And you left before it got really bad. And it got... When I was shooting my stand-ups, I was not happy. It was big old raindrops.
The weather was so nice in Portland on Saturday morning when I left.
Fancy.
And I was like, you know what? I'm leaning into summer. I'm like shorts, Birkenstocks. I get to Corvallis, and it got colder throughout the day, like you're saying, but it did get a little miserable. So what did you make of that whole experience on Saturday down in Corvallis?
I mean, I think similar to what you wrote for the Oregonian, a lot left to be desired. You know, if there is a name that you know on this team, that name did not play on Saturday, with the exception of the two transfer quarterbacks, one of which apparently didn't practice for the vast majority of spring ball due to an injury, only got two practices in before going out in that spring game. So therefore, just really hard to glean anything of substance from this. And, you know, spring games are hard to glean things of substance from anyways. But this one felt particularly devoid of anything to take from it.
And excitement.
Excitement. You know, the only thing I enjoyed about it is, boy, we moved. I liked that. Clock moved. We got that thing done and done and dusted quick, which I appreciated. I appreciated that. But it was pretty like you're standing around the sideline pregame and you kind of start tallying up. Okay, this person has this. This person has that. That person isn't playing. And it was like it kept revealing itself during the game. Like it kept being like, oh, Skylar Thomas isn't playing. Oh, there's Josh Gray and sweatpants, you know, and you're just like, okay, like, and I appreciate it. I asked Trent Bray afterwards. I was like, what was it like going through spring ball and having, you know, your team leaders, a lot of your team leaders not being able to participate? And he was like, well, you know, it means that the younger kids got a lot of reps, blah, 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 blah. And I wish now I would have, you know, pushed harder back on that because you're installing a new offense. It is not good that, you know, a lot of your key pieces didn't get a full spring and or any spring. That is not a good sign. So, I'm glad I went. I'm glad I participated. I'm glad I was there. But other than that, meh. What about you?
So I have multiple thoughts, and, you know, I'll get to what I wrote in the Oregonian on Saturday. But to your point about availability and all that, there are some guys who are hurt. Some of those guys were in walking boots, and I think there probably were some of those guys who were a little bit more precautionary. Yeah. The general attitude I got from Oregon State with the spring game was it's sort of, you know, it's something to get through.
Necessary
evil.
As opposed to
something. Right. And I think that. And this translates back to what I ended up writing in the Oregonian. I think that there's an opportunity for Oregon State to get more creative with some of these moments. And you know, the spring game is the only time you're inviting your fans in to see, you know, the football team's progress from, you know, December until August. You have a completely overhauled roster. There's really nobody to be excited about, frankly. You know, Damian Martinez left. You don't have a returner at quarterback. Ben Goldbrunson is not going to win the job when it's all said and done. you know, you receiver wise, I mean, there, you again, backups from last year who would be in more prominent roles this year if they didn't play in the spring game. I mean, Josh Gray, like you said, you know, left offensive tackle is your best returning player. You know, there's just a lot of questions and not a lot to be excited about with Oregon State football. And as we know, it's all been bad news. I wanted to see them take advantage of the fact that you're bringing fans into the stadium, give them something. And, mm-hmm. you know, you could look at my Twitter mentions, and this was not a popular opinion with Oregon State fans, who I think felt like I was criticizing them for there not being more people there. I don't think Oregon State did a good job of making this an event that fans should want to go to.
No.
And it's not just, you know, do you have a concert or do you have a flyover or, you know, do you have a bounce house? Like, what are you doing that makes this an event that you drive? You know, we drove down from Portland because, you know, there's a story to be told and it's our jobs and we, you know, it's important for us to, you know, kind of know what's going on with this team. But I just think that there needs to be some creativity with how you market yourself in this moment. And as, you know, Oregon State has gotten beaten down by realignment and the transfer portal and fans are hurting. This is a moment where it's like, come celebrate Beaver Nation, you know, have a, mm-hmm. some form of a pep rally, make it a big reunion, bring back, you know, your former stars, have an autograph station where these players can get face to face with some fans. And I know some of them will be gone. I know some of the players that we saw on Saturday are probably going to end up in the transfer portal before, you know, before it closes. Like that's just the nature of the beast. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to see Oregon State say, hey, we're still here and we're awesome. Like being a Beaver is still something to be proud of. And instead it just was such a ho-hum sort of, let's just get through it, you know, sort of day. And on the flip side, and I know we're going to talk about the Oregon spring game coming up here in a few minutes too, you know, Oregon makes it this, you know, really fan-friendly yes. event. They do bring back stars. Like you go to the spring game on Saturday, you know, there's a reasonable chance you're going to see Marcus Mariota, you know, LaMichael James, you know, Achilles Smith, like whoever your like favorite, you know, former Duck is, they might be on the sideline. They might be calling plays, you know, this, you know, last year, Marcus Mariota was like a celebrity coach. You know, I know Oregon State isn't the gimmick school and it doesn't need to replicate what Oregon does, mm-hmm. but I think especially in a moment when everybody's like, just kind of feeling, oh, isn't it so sad for Oregon State, which I've written a lot about. I've been very, very like empathetic to Oregon State. This is a moment where you could have actually controlled something. You could do something. And there are a lot of details to this. And like one thing that I was talking to somebody at Oregon State about was, you know, and so like a lot of schools will make sure that they, you know, have their spring game when there's, you know, when it coincides with like a big baseball series so that, mm-hmm. you know, you have people on campus, you can make it sort of like a weekend on campus. Well, baseball was on the road last week. Baseball is at home this upcoming weekend against Oregon. If I was Oregon State, this is what I would have done. I would have had my spring game at the exact same time as Oregon. I would have gone head to head with Oregon. I would have had, you have your baseball team playing the Ducks. And I would have made it a, you know, a Beaver State day. Like this is the Beaver State. We're going to beat the Ducks. We're going to go head to head with them in the spring game because your fans aren't going to the Oregon spring game anyway. So like go like be proud and be big. And so like make it like a rallying cry of like, you know, you're having Beaver State Day. Come see the Beavers beat the Ducks on the diamond. Come to the Oregon spring game. Get to know these players. Trent Bray is going to make his debut. I mean, that was the other thing that was missing, I thought, from Saturday. There was no real energy of, you know, we are unveiling a new era here. And listen, I do not think a spring game is a big deal. Like you said, players didn't play. You know, what do you actually learn, you know, football-wise? Probably not a ton. Like it's live reps for certain guys and it's film. It's more film for like the coaches to obsess over until August. But that's a very out. I think that's a kind of a provincial way of viewing your spring game. You know, a spring game should be an opportunity to recruit donors for NIL, to build your brand, to sell a vision. Like there's just more to it, especially in this day and age where there's so much competition in all spaces. Like the NBA is a great example where they have taken things that used to be just sort of like a procedural part of the calendar and making them events, selling them as events. Like Summer League didn't used to be a thing that like, you know, was on ESPN and, you know, had all that sponsorship and like, you know, became such a, you know, it's such an event. It grew into that. They've done that with the NBA Combine, which has now grown into an event that is now, mm-hmm. you know, it used to be held in a small gym on the outskirts of Chicago. Now it's in Chicago, and it's, you know, it's a huge multi-day meetings. It coincides with the lottery. They bring the whole NBA together in a way, you know, it used to be just smaller. It used to be more of like a, you know, mom and pop type weekend. And I think Oregon State needs to figure out how to capture some of that. And Beaver fans still love being Beaver fans. Like, just because bad things have happened to the Beavers doesn't mean that Beaver fans are any less proud. And I think you need to figure out how to harness that. And so that's why I think the spring game was a miss.
Some thoughts. One, I would imagine, and I know this sounds silly at this point, but it is what it is. I think that the Pac-12 network probably doesn't want Oregon and Oregon State to play on the same day, even though that will be changing soon. So maybe next year they decide to make that different. You know, maybe it's a situation where they could have put the spring game on a Friday, and then that would have led straight into Oregon and Oregon State, the first game of that series. Okay. I don't know. That might work. I like that idea. I like the thought. You know, and I think also, like, another thing that I noticed from that game is just the absolute lack of game management going on in terms of entertainment, like you said.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, they basically didn't have a PA announcer the entire game.
Right.
So you had no idea what was going on if you were in the stands and you looked away for, you know, 3 minutes.
Does not help you get to know these players at all.
100%. You are not hearing names over and over again. So you kind of have to just kind of keep track in your brain, like, okay, this person's doing okay, that person's doing okay. And for the average fan, that's not going to happen at a spring game.
Yeah.
So all they did the entire time was just play music.
They didn't keep stats.
That's exactly what I was going to next. And they didn't keep stats last year either.
And again, this is all because it doesn't matter. It's not a real game. But, like, you want to build excitement? Like, tell me that Jabari Johnson, you know, threw for 160 yards and, you know, give people some nuggets, some niblets. And I think, if I'm mistaken, you tell me, because you and I had different vantage points because you were on the field for most of it. But on the big screen. And they have this awesome big screen, right?
Yep.
That part of this, you know, $12 billion renovation, whatever it was. I think they just showed basically the Pac-12 network feed the whole time.
Yes. So they didn't have cameras.
You didn't have your own cameras. You weren't showing replays. Like, again, I know you don't want to be the gimmicky school, but don't have just a PA announcer, which they didn't really have at all. I would have like a DJ on the field being like, you know, a hype man being like, that's Jabari Johnson hitting Jermaine Terry in stride. You know, like, I would be like making it a party. And I realize that Trent Bray, who is like the ultimate football dude and like is cutting film from that game right now and is, you know, probably already like sleeping, you know, 16 minutes a night while he, you know, is, you know, preparing for the opener against Idaho State. That's why there are other people who make it this other thing. And I know that Trent is not going to be like, Trent's not going to be the guy who's like, oh, let's make it like this, you know, let's get a DJ and do all this fun stuff. But I think that Oregon State had an opportunity to do some of that fun stuff. So, I mean, you know, put the stats up there. Let us know what's happening. You know, have somebody talking to your fans throughout the game.
So this kind of leads to a bigger thought I have about Oregon State, which is, you know, I don't mean to, they are not apples and oranges. It's actually comparing apples to apples, because as somebody who covered Washington State for 4 years, they're in similar situations in terms of manpower and in terms of their standing in the conference. All right. So I can tell you, like, last year when I reached out to Oregon State and I said, hey, can you guys send me stats from the spring scrimmage? And they told me, oh, yeah, nobody took any. I was like, what? Because I covered Wazoo for 4 years and they took stats at every spring scrimmage. Mm-hmm. And they would send out stats after every scrimmage game to us, like every closed scrimmage, so that we had some sort of idea of what happened. So, like, that's a way to get people excited. It's like, okay, you didn't get to see this scrimmage that we had on this one Saturday, but hey, you know, this guy had, like you said, 140 yards passing or something like that. Like, that is one way to just get your narrative out there and to give us a little bit more information. And when you do that, when you give the media, and, you know, obviously I'm coming at this from a media perspective. When you give the media more information, it is going to help you. And this leads to my next point. Okay, here we go. Oregon State, I need you, like every other Power Five school, to go shoot video of every media availability for football that you have, not just the press conference on Monday from Trent Bray or Jonathan Smith, which, as we talked about, not exactly the most illuminating press conferences of all time. Mm-hmm. Okay. These guys are not here to give sound bites. I understand that. But if you want to get the word out about your program, especially in markets like Portland, we are not going to be driving down. You know, in Spokane's the same situation. We were not driving down for every media availability. There's no physical way to do that. Mm-hmm. So if you want to get word out about your team and you want to, you know, get more of a role in this, I need you to go put a camera at every press, you know, every press availability. Mm-hmm. This is not hard. And so just, and those are easy things to do. That is so, and Oregon does it. And I understand Oregon has more resources, but Wazoo does the same thing. Wazoo never misses a football media availability. And when I was told 2 years ago, we only send out press conferences, I was absolutely floored. This is such an easy thing to do to help you get word out about your team. And I understand I'm kind of moving off the spring game right now, but I don't think that Oregon State posted media availability from their spring game either. I don't believe they had a camera at that. That is mind-blowing. Absolutely mind-blowing. They've just got to do a better job at promoting themselves and giving the media things so that we can help promote them. This is not rocket science. So, you know, there's things that I'm seeing in this spring game that lead me to bigger problems that they have throughout the entire season. And that is one of them. When you're not sending stuff from every media availability you have during the week, guess what? We're going to show Oregon football on our airwaves way more throughout the week, because we only have a 15-minute press conference from Jonathan Smith in which he doesn't say much. So they could just do a lot better about promoting themselves and getting more hype around them. And it's simple, easy things, like you said, putting more, making these things a bigger event and putting more emphasis on trying to get the word out about their squad.
And I think this all goes, to the bigger picture of how Oregon State moves forward, because now Oregon State can't just rely on the heft of being in the Pac-12, of the quality of opponents that it has always been able to bring in and sell. I mean, I think that, you know, I think Oregon State is a victim in all of this. I really 100%. Do. Oregon State and Washington State got screwed. That said, I do think that being probably the little fish in the Pac-12, and, you know, we can agree that that's, you know, what these schools were. Yep. You know, probably created some complacency because you had the safety net of being in the Pac-12 and mm-hmm. now you don't have that. And so now you have to figure out, how do you operate without that, without that step stool. And my parting thought on spring games, we have other things to talk about. I mean, there's a lot going on. Who was it for? You know, if you went to that game, and I was sitting there, I'm like, who is this for? Because I don't think it was for the fans. And this is what I mean, this is the column I wrote. And I'm not saying that you skip steps or you take away the value of it as a learning and teaching event for your players, because that is ultimately probably priority one, but it's got to be both. It's got to be both one way or another. And I, you know, Oregon State, as far as, you know, fan engagement, didn't do much other than open the gates. And so, like, what I wrote in the column, you know, what message did they send to their fans? To me, it was like, oh, hello, we didn't see you there. That was the message that fans got. And, you know, a lot of fans emailed me and told me I'm wrong, that they had a good time at the spring game. And, you know, that is great. I'm thrilled to hear that. I'm glad you had that experience.
Yeah.
I just think it could be a lot better. And I think that as you try to grow, it needs to be better. Okay.
Insane.
Let's turn the page, Brenna. Saturday, we're going to see a spring game that operates completely differently from Oregon State. And it is, you know, the Oregon spring game has become, you know, a mammoth event. You know, they put 35,000, 40,000 fans in those seats. You know, are Oregon fans inherently better fans than Oregon State fans? I don't think so. But I do think that Oregon has prioritized getting butts in seats. I mean, what they put out this week was let's pack Autzen. You know, let's fill Autzen. You know, they make it a food drive. They have, you know, they have events. I think they have kind of a family fun festival. You know, friends of mine who go, you know, always talk about like what a great time they have with their kids there. It's for the kids. They, you know, they will honor military families on the field. There will be a Matt Kearney concert afterwards. You know, the guy who sings Coming Home, the Oregon song at the end of the first quarter.
I'm very upset about that, by the way.
Because we're going to be working and we can't go to the concert.
We are going to be in. I love Matt Kearney. Like, yeah. I have so much Matt Kearney on my phone. And you want to know where we're going to be when Matt Kearney is singing?
The bowels. The bowels of the Casanova Center.
We will be in the Oregon football build. We will be in the Oregon football building. Yes. Yep. Instead of it, and I'm like, oh man, this is going to be a real big bummer for me. Anyways,
so like, you know, and you know, how many more? I think that, like, you know, again, if you're an Oregon football fan, and granted, you know, Oregon has high profile players, huge names, guys who are coming back, guys who came in the portal. Mm-hmm. You know, there's just football players you want to see play. Like, I want to see Dylan Gabriel throwing passes to Tez Johnson. That's very much something I want to see. I want to see what this offensive line looks like. You know, all of those things. But in terms of like getting more bang for your buck to go to this free event, you know, if you're going to drive down from, you know, Portland, or you're going to drive up from Medford, you know, it's a day well spent, because you know, you're not just going to see an hour and 15 minutes of kind of voiceless, contextless football plays.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Oregon does such a great job with it. And, you know, the last thing Oregon needs is me telling them that they have figured something out with marketing, that they market themselves well. But that is, you know, and these things do go hand in hand.
They really care about our opinions down there, I'm sure, on that. So,
but these things go hand in hand. You build excitement, you build enthusiasm, you know, recruits see it. I mean, how many recruits have talked about, you know, loving the Oregon brand for a long time? And Oregon's one of one, you know, because with the Phil Knight Nike connection and the facilities. I mean, it's just unlike anything else. But I this all goes hand in hand. They decided however many years ago that the spring game was going to be an event, and it makes it something you want to see, that you want to be there for.
Yeah. By the way, did you see Wilner's story today that Oregon is the only self-funded athletic department in the entire Pac-12?
I did see that.
Yep. There you go. Yeah, I mean, you know, we talked about there isn't much to glean from spring games and things like that. But, you know, from being at both spring games last year, like, I can tell you last year at Oregon State, I was like, okay, there's been a lot of talk about Aiden Childs. I see it. You know, he had that incredible touchdown throw. I was like, all right, I see it. You know, last year at Oregon spring game, it was, all right, this Tez Johnson guy, he is not just Bo Nix's adoptive brother.
Right.
I know that he took, you know, he took that touchdown back against, you know, third stringers or whatever.
Right.
But that was a routine throw that he then ran 70 yards. And that's still a bunch of 4-star athletes that are out there, you know?
Yep.
So there is something, you can glean things from these games. Or, you know, another thing I was thinking of was last year at Oregon Spring Game, Bo Nix played well into the second half. That was like Bo Nix is not screwing around. Yeah. Like, he's not taking anything lightly. He is here and he is present and accounted for. So there are, you can have takeaways from these things that end up coming true in the season. And I think both in terms of Bo and Tez in that game, there were things that proved to be true. So there is, you know, you can, if you treat it the right way, you can also get football takes from these games.
Correct. Just to go back to the Oregon State thing real quick, as a companion thought to this.
Yeah.
I mean, the problem with the Oregon State situation is the more people you get in the stands to see your spring game are the more people who are going to leave being like, oh God, like, because they don't have those guys. You know, there wasn't a moment where you're like, you know, I thought Jabari Johnson looked for having only a couple of spring practices. I thought he actually looked pretty good. I think he looks better than Javonte McCoy. You know, I talked a lot about Javonte McCoy last week, but like, I thought Jabari Johnson looked more ready. I think he's going to be the guy. There is that. You know, the defense at Oregon State looks good, but again, not a very good offense right now. So
yeah, hard to judge.
Maybe this isn't the year you want to have 20,000 people, you know, rolling into the stadium to like build some excitement for your season, because the Beavers look like a 5-7 team to me. Like, I'm sorry,
might be being generous.
I think the schedule lines up okay for them. You know, you know, Purdue at home. Like, I don't know. That might be interesting. I just don't think the talent level is anywhere close to where it has been. Okay. Yeah. But go back to your point. You're making a great point. Like, yes, these are valuable. These are valuable, especially in house. But if you have something to get your fans excited about, this is their chance to see it. And this is your chance to show them.
Oregon very much does in Dylan Gabriel.
Yep.
You know? I mean, Saturday, I am really, really excited to see how that all plays out. I'm excited to see Dylan. I'm excited a little bit to, why am I blanking on his name right now? Their second string quarterback from UCLA. This is bad.
Dante Moore.
I wanted to say, okay, this is bad. You want to know what I wanted to say? Draco Malfoy. I had the initials right. You know, I'm excited to see that a little bit. I'm just like, there are a lot of marketable things in game in this game that I am excited about as well. But yeah, I am bummed though. I looked at the weather. Not great, but anyways.
Brenna, tell me what you would do. Brenna, here's something. This is for the dads out there, the dads and the moms.
Yes, please.
So on Saturday, to go to the Oregon State spring game, I had to miss three things. I had to miss my son's picture day for his baseball team. I am an assistant coach on the team. So the team photo does not have me now. The first time I've ever been on a team coaching my son, I'm not in that photo. I then had to miss my 4-year-old's kick and chase soccer, which was kind of at the same time, but whatever. And then a baseball game. Okay. This upcoming Saturday, same thing. I'm going to miss kick and chase soccer and baseball for the team I'm a coach on for the Oregon spring game. Am I going to miss those? I mean, I guess like I'm planning on going to the spring game. It's my job. I've missed a lot of things over the years. I've missed a lot of Christmases for NBA games. I have been traveling on Thanksgiving. I have missed my wife's birthday. I have, you know, there are a lot of things that like I've missed. And anybody in our business can tell you, I'm not special. But I'm like, do I really want to go to the Oregon spring game rather than like coach my son's baseball team? I don't know.
I am a bad person to ask as a single 32-year-old. who has gotten criticisms before in her life for being too obsessed with her job. Whoopsies. I've done my best, people, okay? But no, I mean, I get it. I think that if I were in your position, it tugs at you a little bit. I understand. I totally get it. And it's annoying that you have to do it back-to-back weekends, too. It's probably if it was one, it wouldn't feel as intense.
Give me the Oregon spring game in 2 weeks. Give me a week break maybe. But I don't know. I'm still chewing on that. So if any of the parents out there or any of the newspaper editors out there would like to weigh in on this, shoot me an email, bill.orum@oregonian.com, @BillOrum on X. I think I'm going to remove Twitter from my phone, by the way, Brenna. I think I'm at that point too. It's an ugly place. It is an ugly place. I don't want to be on it. I don't like it.
Yeah.
It's too toxic. I'm on it too much. I'm scrolling too much. I think I'm gonna take it off my phone. We're gonna see. You know what? I'm gonna do it right now. Here.
You're
I'm gonna do it right
you're,
now. I'm gonna do
you're
it right,
so
I'm gonna do
much
it right
of a better
now
person than I am.
on the Oregonian Spring Podcast, or the Oregonian Spring Podcast, on the Oregonian Sports Podcast, I'm going to remove Twitter from my phone because it's such a toxic place.
This is great for an audio medium. Here's my social apps.
I have three alerts. I have three alerts. I don't even know what they are. You know what? Whatever they are, they probably suck. So I am going to. This is why you watch it on YouTube. Whoops.
Yeah, see.
Now I have four alerts. Okay. We're bouncing. Edit home screen. It's hard to do this.
Okay.
Remove from home screen. Nope. Delete app. Boom. It's gone. Wait, nope. Deleting this app will also delete its data. Sorry. There's a lot of steps to deleting X from your phone. Gone. I'm done with you, Elon. I'll only see you on my desktop from here on out.
I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
So yeah, moral of the story, I'm excited for the Oregon Spring Game for a lot of reasons. Like you said, it's going to be just higher production value and then also more intriguing storylines. And by the way, like I was excited to go to Oregon State and see some of these guys that are supposed to take a bigger role. Yeah. And then once you get down there and you see nobody's playing, you're like, well, this is lame. So
I was excited to see the quarterbacks. I was excited to see the running backs because Jam Griffin and Anthony Hankerson, the transfer from Colorado, you know, those are the guys who are trying to replace Damian Martinez. So, you know, which one of those guys is going to step up? You know, there's storylines with Oregon State, like they're going to be interesting, but Oregon Spring Game will probably be more, certainly a more intriguing football production. Brenna, did you watch the NBA playoffs this weekend?
So, you know what's funny is that I tuned in to the Bucks game for the second half, in which Damian Lillard did not score at all. But can you imagine
the narrative if he had gone scoreless in the first half, by the way, of the Bucks game and not the second half?
What a mess. Yeah, I mean, what a you know, very bittersweet feeling. It's just the whole thing is bittersweet. Yeah. You're happy for Dame. He did everything he could here. You understand why he had to leave, and I agree with the decision to leave wholeheartedly. And it still feels like someone's pouring salt in the wound every time you look at the box score. And, you know, for me, in my situation anyways, you look at the box score and you see, oh, he's up to 20. He's up to 25. He's up to 30. And you're like,
we've seen this before.
I'm assuming you did watch.
Let's see. My house has a lot of monster trucks on the TV most of the day. The two playoff games I tried to turn on yesterday, when I finally was able to get it on, it was there was like 30 seconds left in the first half of the Bucks game. So no, I did not see him go nuclear in the same way everybody else did. And then there was like a minute 12 left in the first half of that great Pelicans Thunder game. And I'm like, this is like just conspiring against me. But on the Dame front, do you know the Casey Musgraves song? Are you Casey Musgraves stan?
Yes, I love Casey Musgraves.
Is there a word for the way that I'm feeling inside? Happy and sad at the same time. That's how Blazer fans feel. Happy and sad at the same time.
Let's get more Bill Oram singing.
You did not get this with Aaron Fentress. You got Michael Jackson. You got you probably got like some like, I don't know.
No, there was no Casey Musgraves. There was no Casey Musgraves karaoke. That's for sure.
there was probably some Air Supply. I don't know. Like Aaron strikes me as like a soft 80s rock guy. But you know, I think that's the reality of it. And I think it's a very natural thing. Like I did ask on X, an app that used to be on my phone, X Twitter yesterday.
And an app formerly on my phone. There you go.
I did ask, like, you know, are Blazer fans enjoying this? And it, you know, I think the response was exactly what you said, because it's like, it's so familiar. Everybody's happy to see Dame getting to perform on the biggest stage, which is not what the first round of the playoffs necessarily is, but like back in the playoffs, you know, Giannis is out, you know, Dame is taking care of business, you know, the shoulder, the, you know, everything's on his shoulders in the, in that game. You know, it was cool. Like, I mean, cause that's what he wanted. And Aaron wrote about this in, you know, on Oregon Live today as well. You can go read that, but like, this is the reason he left Portland, was because he didn't see how the Blazers were going to get him back to, you know, this kind of position while he still had this in the tank. And, you know, yeah, everybody understands why he left. I don't think there's any hard feelings with Dame. And so it's, you know, it's a bittersweet, and it's hard to see him do it in a non-Blazers jersey. And I think also for Blazer fans, if I can project a little bit or try to armchair analyze this, you know, Blazer fans, it's made more painful by the fact that your team is not in the same place, or it doesn't have a quick path back. Like, what the Blazers are going to be in for, like, a pretty, you know, strategic rebuild, and that can take years. And we've talked about this before too on the podcast, but, you know, watching Dame do that in the playoffs, I hope Blazer fans are able to enjoy it, because they've invested so much in him. And like, now the Blazers are out of it. You know, you don't have to feel like your rooting interests are split at all. You know, I think Blazer fans, like, can, you know, if you want to, you know, be a Bucks fan this spring, like, you know, root for Dame to win it all. I mean, this is, you know, he has a real chance. I mean, I think Boston is the best team in the East, but, you know, this is a time to just throw your weight behind a guy that has done a whole lot for your city, your team. And, no, it's going to be fun to watch to see if he can, you know, have more games like that in the postseason, because doing that in game one of the first round, you know, it's a game you need, but, you know, he's going to have to stay at that level for the next month and a half for the Bucks to pull this off. And get Giannis healthy.
Yeah. Did you have any different reaction to the clip where that the Bucks tweeted out, where he said, you know, this is what y'all brought me here for? Any thoughts on that on your end?
No, like what are you thinking?
I mean, just like that, honestly, like him scoring 35, like, especially since I wasn't watching, you know, it doesn't hit you as much.
Mm-hmm.
But when you see him like saying something like that, and it just, I don't know, that was like the moment that really hit me in the feels, where it was, you know, referencing the trade, he's going off in a playoff game. He's, you know, talking how Dame talks in a playoff game. And you're like, oh, right. I remember when you used to do that for my team. That was nice. And yeah,
he grabs the PA mic and he's like, yeah. Cream City. That's, Milwaukee is the Cream City. I'm not making this up.
I know it is.
I'm just saying, that's what he...
It's still funny.
I mean, I think, like, to your point, like, yes, like, the trade, you know, and the way that all went down was very front of mind as that was all playing out, again, on social media, mostly for me as well, you know, where it was, like, really in your face. And then even, you know, post-game, when he shouted out his son back home in Portland, like, it's like, you know, you're just always like, oh gosh, like, you know, and then you watch CJ like kick ass in the Pelicans game too. Yeah. Like he played pretty well. I mean, he had a shot to win it at the end. He got a lot of people were kind of hating on that last possession. It was really well defended by Cason Wallace. Really well defended by Cason Wallace. And then CJ still got himself a really good look, and I thought that shot was going down. So, but it's like you see those two guys like balling out in the postseason, and you're like, why couldn't they make this work again? So there was some of that too, because it's like, you know, why, you know, how did you end up in a position where you're, you know, intentionally, you know, tanking at the end of two straight seasons with prime Damian Lillard? Like, how did that happen? There are reasons, like, we could break down the reasons of how it happened, but it is one of those things that just at a very surface level doesn't sit right.
Yeah. And we probably are looking at least 3 more years of this team not being in the playoffs.
But man, three, like, more.
Maybe they make it in that third year. But
man, if they do it right, and if they draft well, and if this front office is, and maybe I'm just being incredibly Pollyannish about it, but like, you know, look at Oklahoma City. Like, all those dudes are young, like 1 through 10. Like, they're young, they're playing rookies, but they have, like, you know, they, this is, that's the model, you know? And like, you know, unfortunately, Sam Presti is not the Blazers GM, you know? And, you know, they, you know, the Thunder were able to trade multiple future Hall of Famers to collect all those draft assets. And so, you know, replicating that, what they've done exactly, is probably not achievable, but, you know, seeing playoff basketball back in Oklahoma City for the first time in 5 years, seeing the whiteout, you know, with the shirts, like, brought back so many feelings and memories about Oklahoma City at its peak with Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. And they made the hard decisions, you know, to rebuild. And so I do, you know, yes, maybe it is a couple more years, but like, if the Blazers do it right, and who knows, right? Like, who knows? Like, nobody knows if Joe Cronin is going to knock this out of the park, but you can at least see where the Blazers are and where a team like Oklahoma City is, and see like why the Blazers are going that direction.
Everything is justifiable. Still doesn't mean it doesn't sting at times.
It does sting. Brenna, a couple quick topics before we get out of here. We had a story yesterday from Ryan Clark, Kelly Graves' house on the market in Eugene. I know you have covered Kelly Graves for the last 40 or 50 years.
Yes, since I was out of the womb.
Big deal, small deal.
Small deal. Small deal. I mean, you know, I guess, you know, I said this to you off mic, but, you know, I will totally, you know, talk about how I am not only close with Kelly, but I am close with his family. He has a few sons that are around my age. I covered one of them at Gonzaga. The other one is closer to my age. He doesn't have three kids anymore.
Yeah, like, that house looks huge.
When he bought that house, he had three sons running around.
Right.
So it totally makes sense to me why they are moving away from that house. And, you know, yeah, there's two people living in the house. It's time to move on.
It's a perfect story for, and listen, we cover real estate all the time. We cover, you know, the comings and goings of high profile people all the time. So it's a pretty standard news story, but I also understand why, like, you know, or it got caught up in the machine of Oregon fans, because there are a lot of questions about Kelly Graves right now and whether he's going to be able to bring in the players who can get this program back on track as it makes the transition to the Big Ten. You know, obviously, like, only a second losing season this year, missed the NCAA tournament a few times now. You know, a lot of questions about Oregon women's basketball, so it's kind of just the perfect talker. You know, but no, I mean, you know, Kelly, they're empty nesters now. You know, and that was a big empty nest. I mean, the one photo, I don't know if you flip through the Zillow on it, but like, there's one photo of, like, I guess the attic, or there's an upstairs loft or something that just had, like, it had twin beds lined up like a military barracks. And I'm sure it's a great party house, great to have like family reunions in, but at a certain point you just want to have a two bedroom condo with less bathroom, with less toilets to clean up at.
Exactly.
I do wonder, and I'll say this though, because I do think that there's, you know, I don't know. I don't, if I was Kelly Graves, I think I might rent, not buy.
And that's something that I really need to, you know, this is getting deep into the journalism weeds, but I need to FOIA that contract and see what it looks like over the next however many years, because I know right now it is a significant, I'm not sure the exact dollar amount, but Oregon ain't firing him right now. You know, him and Wayne Tinkle ain't getting fired anytime soon, because they've got some good contracts in those two that are not friendly for the university in terms of firing. So I'm not sure.
One of those universities has a little more resources than the other one. That's it. Listen, agreed. I'm getting a little far afield, but we did talk about this a few weeks ago. I'm not on the fire Kelly Graves train. Okay, just to be clear,
I'm not either.
You know, what I mean, for sure, but like what he's achieved there, what he has shown that he is capable of doing, like if he wants to still be coaching and he wants to be dealing with the transfer portal and all this stuff that like comes with the job in 2024, if he wants to be doing it, which I mean, with I think anybody who's been in the business for a long time and is watching it change underneath them is a big question mark. Like I think a lot of these longtime coaches are starting to look for alternatives. I think he's earned the right to rebuild it. You know, to a point, right? Like to a point. Yes. And so I think certainly, you know, at least, I mean, obviously I don't think they're making a move now, but like certainly at least another year to try to get this ship back on course. But it's been hard. I mean, with so many players leaving the program, but I mean, you know, Kelly, you know, got commitments over the weekend, you know, and he's recruiting and rebuilding that roster. And I'm curious to see what he does with it, because I think obviously there's a big opportunity with going to the Big Ten next season. We talked about the Thorns last week. We talked about the coaching change, Mike Norris moving over to technical director, his assistant stepping up. I know you were at that press conference. Thorns got a badly needed cathartic win over the weekend. Yeah. Where are we on the trajectory of By Any Other Name?
So I will say this. Rob Gale, their interim head coach, a delightful soundbite. I mean, this man, I was like, this is one of my favorite press conference, like introductory press conference interviews I've ever been a part of. Hilarious.
Could he coach Oregon State football?
I mean, he's self-deprecating. He had some good quips in there. You know, he said that, you know, it was really hard for him to take over this interim coaching job because he is so close with Mike Norris, and said, you know, I went over to his house because I needed to talk about it with him before I took it over. And, you know, it was tears and beers. That's what he's like. You know, everybody knows me. I'm an emotional man. And, you know, I'll cry at a good romantic comedy. And I was like, my guy, I'm here for this. So yeah, he was, you know, who knows how things end up looking throughout this season. And, you know, I would be pretty surprised if he ends up, you know, getting the head coaching job, just because I think that the new owners probably want to bring in new blood, and that makes such total sense. But, you know, it definitely felt like he brought an energy that was really good, and the players also echoed that. They said that the energy at practice last week was just
training,
and I don't think that they meant it in a way that was like dissing Mike Norris at all. I just think that sometimes you just need a change of scenery to switch things up, and they said that things were good, and they proved it out on the field. I know the Houston Dash are not good. Okay, let's just be frank; they are probably the worst team in the NWSL, but regardless, sometimes you just got to beat up on that really bad team. Like I remember in high school, you know, when we played in the Metro League, and like
talk your talk, Brenna.
Yes, I will. Even JV and freshman, every single game, I'm not going to say who, but every single game was difficult, and there was, you know, some schools that weren't as difficult. It was like, oh, thank God. We're just going to be able to go out there and like kind of have some fun. You know what I mean? And that's what they needed, and that's what they got. You get a Christine Sinclair goal, which is always exciting at this point. I thought it was very interesting that she started. That hasn't been happening. So, you know, she kind of gets a goal off a broken Sophia Smith play. I don't care how she gets it. That's going to make the crowd go absolutely nutso. And I mean, it was still a beautiful sequence of events. And yeah, it's good to see that team. I don't care who it was against. That team needed to get that confidence boost, and hopefully that carries over now throughout the rest of the year. But I know Providence was on fire Saturday night, to the point where I was kind of like, man, I kind of wish I would have gone to this game, even though I was absolutely exhausted. But
from being in Corvallis at the Oregon State spring game. Corvallis.
Hey, you know what? I anchored the 11:30. I anchored the 11:30 on Friday night, and then less than 10 hours later was in a car on the way to Corvallis. So that is tiring, okay? Especially since you,
Brenna,
when,
I, we're getting far removed from a moment that I just wanted to highlight because it's been like a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
But did you briefly make a feeble attempt at a British accent?
No.
When you were quoting Rob Gale or you were talking as Rob Gale, you started down like this voice path where there was a bit of an accent, but then you pulled yourself out because maybe you felt like this is not going to end well for me. Like I'm not good at accents. Were you thinking that at all?
No, I wasn't. Maybe that was just a very subconscious thing I did.
Okay. Well, I heard it. Our listeners heard it. If you're listening to this podcast and you heard Brenna's British accent, hit us with a tweet. I'm at Bill Oram on Twitter or X. Brenna is at Brenna Green underscore.
Underscore.
Is that right? Dude, that underscore.
I wish I didn't have that underscore. Twitter, help me out. Guys, I've been a loyal user for like 15 years. Can we get rid of the underscore? The other Brenna Green does not use her account. Okay.
I tweeted at the guy who had at Bill Oram for years, like just about because I think I was initially at Oram B because when I got Twitter, I was interning at the Washington Post and that was the construction of our email addresses, 2009. Mm. And then after a couple of years, I switched it to at Bill underscore Oram. And then when I was covering the Lakers, I remember tweeting just occasionally, you know, like, hey, still slumming it over here as Bill underscore Oram. If at Bill Oram ever checks their Twitter account again, I'd love to have the handle of my name. One day, this random dude, this teenager, sends me a message being like, hey, like, whatever. And I was like, is your name Bill Oram? Because it wasn't. It was something totally random. And his name was not Bill Oram. He claimed that his buddy had a Dodge Ram that they called Billy O. Ram. And he was like, sure, you can have it. And then we like worked out a swap. But I don't know why you would call a Dodge Ram Billy O. Ram. But I didn't even have to give anything up for it. I didn't have to pay him. I didn't have to do anything. It wasn't like one of those like, you know, number deals that, you know, you hear about in baseball so often. But you should try that. You should tweet at Brenna Green in case she occasionally logs on and she's like, oh, snap, the real Brenna Green wants to send me a Starbucks gift card for this Twitter handle on X.
I don't know if I've ever been more speechless in my life, but I'm glad that this worked out for you, Billy O'Ram. Also, I might call you that from now on. So,
I'm sorry, the name is taken by a teenager's Dodge Ram somewhere in the American South.
Anything Brenna, else you would like to hit?
No, just the exit button, the eject button. Busy week. You've got the spring game, NFL draft. You know, the Winter Hawks are in the conference finals.
Yes.
And you know, I think you know the NBA playoffs are going to continue to deliver storylines. Disappointing first weekend, I would say. Not a lot of super competitive matchups. I did love that Thunder Pelicans game though, on a lot of levels. So we'll continue to monitor that. But in the meantime, you can follow Brenna Green on social media at Brenna Green underscore. I guess you can still follow me on Twitter/X at Bill Oram.
Yes.
But it's not on my phone anymore, so I'm not going to be seeing your engagement as much because it's a toxic, horrible place. I am also on Threads. I just don't know if you are, if anybody really is using Threads. I think I have a Blue Sky account. I think I'm at Bill Oram on everything.
Okay.
On too many things. So we will continue to have updates, thoughts, wisdom, quips. Brenna's going to be in your television set. Television set. What an antiquated term. Every single night this week. Is that true?
No, it's not true. But I do
several nights this week.
I'll have a story on Wednesday and I'll have a story. And then I'll be anchoring Friday with a story on Friday. And then I'll be down at the spring game on Saturday. So there you go. I just want to say, by the way, shout out to the Winter Hawks. First Western Conference Finals since 2015. So
let's see if they can hang. Let's see if they can hang another Memorial Cup banner in the VMC.
That's great, but also I've said this multiple times, not in public, but holy crap. Whatever happens in junior league hockey in their postseason, like, why is it this long? It is so long.
It mirrors the hockey calendar. This is the hockey calendar. We're in the NHL playoffs.
Seven games seems like a lot for 15 to 18 year olds in every series. Or I guess technically they can go to 20. And then, but then also, if they win, they win the Western Conference to go to, you know, WHL, then they have another tournament after that. It's crazy. Anyways.
Do we have any Winterhawks fans listening to this podcast? If we do, shoot us some story ideas. What would you like to read about the Winterhawks between now and
I do have one story that has been patiently waiting to air, and I'm waiting for a few things for it from the Winterhawks. So that is coming out at some point in the next 2 weeks. So
excellent. Yeah. All right. We're gonna cue that Oregonian sports podcast music again right now. And for Brenna Green, I am Bill Oram. Thank you for listening once again to the Oregonian Sports Podcast. We can't wait to come back next week with more thoughts and observations and random diversions from any topic into just absolute chaos, which is what we do here. So thank you so much for listening. Please come back.
Nailed it.
I know.